Mother's Day is a very special day, a day in which we honor very important people in our lives. But Mother's Day can also be a difficult day, especially for those who have lost their mothers. And this was not planned, not by me anyway. But I find it interesting that on this Mother's Day evening, the next message in this study of Psalm 23 is verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Aside from the opening words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," this is probably the best known line of the whole psalm. I have seen it as the title of books, music albums, photo captions. Those words, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," represent one of the most enduring images, not just of the Bible, but of all human literature. It evokes pictures in our minds. And tonight I want to examine that verse. The first element that jumps out at the reader is the frightening path. We talk about the valley of the shadow of death. That idea of shadow of death is actually one word in the original Hebrew, and it's a compound of the words shade and death, and it means deep darkness. It's a very dreary word. It's one that is found elsewhere in the Old Testament to describe the impenetrable darkness before creation. You see that in Amos 5:8. Job 28:3 uses this word to describe the darkness of a mine shaft. I don't know if any of you have been around a coal mine or any kind of mine. It is dark as can be. Elsewhere in Job, it is used to describe the black hole that is the abode of the dead. It's just dark, pitch black. It's the strongest word in the ancient Hebrew language for darkness. Now, for a shepherd and sheep in biblical times, the ravines in Israel that were cut by these streams at the bottom could be very treacherous to descend. And they could be quite a challenge to climb out of. They could harbor wild animals. Really, this was the sheep's worst nightmare, was going through one of these valleys, because there were challenges and dangers all around. And so this has come to reflect the life-threatening, fear-generating situations of the Lord's flock. Now, for David, this isn't just a poetic notion. He's describing a real place. You'll remember that David was a shepherd in his youth, and he guided his sheep through all kinds of terrain, including these deep, dark valleys. Some of them we would even call canyons. They were deep, they were steep, they were infested with predators. They were rimmed by narrow trails. There's one in particular called the Wadi Kelt that was near Bethlehem. Some wonder if maybe David wasn't thinking of that very place when he wrote this psalm. The city of Jericho is at the eastern end of this ravine, this canyon. It's a desert oasis. So this is a real place. And I want to take a look at this phrase, word for word. The very first word in verse 4, in the King James Version, is yea. Now this isn't yay like you see at a ball game when your team scores. We're not talking about that kind of an expression of joy. Rather, it means yes. It'd be very similar to the term amen. Yes, that's true. And it connects to the verse before it. And this is where it's unfortunate that this one verse is so popular, we tend to take it out of its context. But it is actually part of the entire psalm. And remember what verse 3 says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And we usually think of the paths of righteousness are the green pastures and the still waters, right? We think of those times of comfort and times of plenty. Oh, yeah, those are the paths of righteousness. And then David says, yes, even the valley of the shadow of death is one of those paths of righteousness. Even when I'm going through the tough times, God has not abandoned me. This isn't because God has somehow fallen asleep at the wheel and now I'm in trouble. It's not even necessarily that I did something wrong. We go through these valleys as a part of our lives. And God's plan is not only for the lush meadows and the still waters to get to refresh ourselves, but it's also going through those deep, dark canyons. The dark valley is just as much one of the right paths as the green pastures. And if we can remember that, it can take a lot of the sting out of the ordeal we're in. God is still guiding me, even through these tough times. When we're in the Lord's will and following His guidance, we're on the right paths, even when they seem to go through the thickets or meander across the ridges. When we are where He wants us to be, even if we don't particularly want to be there, that's what it means to be in His will. We're sheep. We're on the move from the green pastures, maybe to the highland slopes, but we've got to go through the valley in order to get there. So, yay, yes, even in the dark valley, I understand this is God leading me. He is still at the helm. He is still guiding me. Now the next term is walk. Yea, though I walk. Notice it doesn't say, yea, though I run. A lot of us, if we see a difficult time ahead of us, we just want to get through it. Oh, I just can't wait to get to the other side. I can't wait to get through this. The anticipation sometimes is worse than the experience itself, right? Oh, I can't wait to get through this and get on the other side. But no, the psalmist says, I walk through the valley. Just as I was walking along the paths of green meadows and still waters, I'm walking through the valley. I'm not quickening my pace. I'm not running away in the opposite direction. I don't freeze and refuse to move. I'm walking calmly with God. And that goes back a little bit to that communion meditation where I was talking about when we establish that regular routine with the Lord, when we regularly come to Him in prayer and we're into His Word, when those dark times come, we can keep on walking because we've established that with our Lord. And I want you to notice something. We're not walking in the valley, we're walking through the valley. That tells us that the dark valley is not the end. Even if, and we're going to see that the valley of the shadow of death includes physical death, but it's not only physical death. But even if this is death, death is not the end. We go through it, and we come out on the other side. God has promised that he will be with us even through that deepest, darkest valley, so that we emerge into the light of life everlasting. I love how C.H. Spurgeon put it. Death is not the house, it's the porch. It's not the goal, it's the passage to it. We walk through the valley. Now, maybe the valley is not representing death. Maybe it's representing a difficult time in our lives. Whatever it is, we're going through it. God's not going to leave us in it. It is a passageway. It's not a destination. Another important word here is the word shadow. This isn't Death Valley. Now, there is a place called Death Valley. It's out in California. This is the valley of the shadow of death. And that's very, very different. I think this is maybe best illustrated by Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. Back in the 1940s and 50s, he was one of the foremost preachers in America. He was, back then, what Billy Graham was a few years ago. I mean, everybody knew who he was. He was on the radio every week. Very well-known preacher. His first wife died from cancer at a rather young age. She was only in her 30s. And he had three children under the age of 12. Now, Dr. Barnhouse decided to preach the funeral himself. But what do you tell your preteen children that their mother is gone? How do you do that? And on his way to the service, he and his children were driving in their car, and a large truck passed them on the highway, and it cast a shadow over their car. For a few seconds, the inside of the car grew dark as the large truck passed by and blocked out the sun. Barnhouse turned to his oldest daughter, who was staring out the window, and said, "Tell me, sweetheart, would you rather be run over by that truck or by the shadow of the truck?" And she said, "The shadow," as we all would say. "It can't hurt you." And Dr. Barnhouse said quietly to his three children, "Your mother has not been overrun by death, but by the shadow of death. There is nothing to fear." And he used this very passage in that funeral message to show that death is not the final enemy. It is a passage. And because Jesus has taken the penalty of death on himself, what we experience is really the shadow of death. Now, the final word of that phrase is death. And we usually associate that with the end of life. But I want you to know something. This valley of the shadow of death is not something the sheep would have gone through one time and then never go back. This was part of an annual route. And I think I mentioned in our last study that what you see in Psalm 23 is a progression. He guides us in the green pastures and by the still waters. And that's usually in the summertime. And it's on the higher ground. But as winter is about to come, it's going to get too cold there. And so they've got to go to lower ground. And that's where they go through the valley. But they come out on the other side. And then they go to the highlands again when the weather is better. So this is something that they're going to experience time after time through their lives. There's no way around it. And the same is true for us. Paul insisted in Acts 14:22, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. If anybody told you that if you come to Jesus and become a Christian, oh, your life's going to be easy. You're not going to have any more problems. I mean, God's just going to give you everything. That's a lie. That is not the way it goes. If you want an easy life, don't follow Jesus, because that's not what he promises. And it's not easy. In fact, it's harder because we're going against the flow. We're going against everybody else that's going the other direction. So it's difficult. And we're going to experience many hardships through life. And that valley doesn't just mean death. It's the day the employer says to clean out your desk. It's when a doctor says your baby will never be normal. It's when you find that stash in your son's closet. When your teenage daughter tells you that she's pregnant. When the doctor says you have cancer or maybe someone you love. When your spouse says they have no energy left to put into the relationship. Those are all dark valleys. And those are dark valleys that Christians go through, not just the unbelievers. We all go through those, as well as those phone calls that we never want to get, informing us that somebody we love is no longer with us. It's when we go through those dark days, when we think to ourselves, I can't do this. It's no use. I can't go on. I would say there are valleys in life that are even worse than physical death. Life is difficult. The path by which God takes us often seems to lead us away from what is good. It causes us to believe we have missed the track, that we have made a wrong turn. And that's because most of us believe that if we're on the right track, God's goodness will always translate into earthly good. He'll heal us. He'll deliver us. He'll exempt us from disease or pain. We'll always have money in the bank. The kids will always turn out well. We'll have a comfortable living and a leisurely retirement. In that version of life, everyone turns out to be a winner. Nobody loses in business. Nobody fails in marriage. Nobody lives in poverty. But that's a pipe dream. That is not reality. That's very far removed from what the Bible teaches about God's love, because He often leads us down roads where earthly comforts fail us, so that He can give us eternal consolation. God doesn't cushion the journey. He lets life jolt us sometimes. And that doesn't mean that He doesn't love you. That doesn't mean that He's angry with you. That doesn't mean you necessarily did anything wrong. You may be in the center of God's will, and life turns rough. The seas can be storming around us. And we're like the disciples on the boat in the middle of the lake saying, Lord, don't you care if we drown? He's there. He hasn't abandoned us. He is right there with us. You know, in the Christian life, we often talk about wanting to move on to higher ground with God. We want to live above the lowlands of life. We want to get beyond the common crowd. We want to enter into a more intimate walk with God. Oftentimes, we speak of those mountaintop experiences. There was a song a number of years ago that said, I want to live on the mountaintop. Oh, wouldn't that be great? But life calls us to the valley below. God's will calls us through those dark valleys. And sometimes it's not because of us. There may be somebody else in that valley that God wants us to minister to. Maybe there's somebody that's going through the very same thing we've gone through, and we can put our arm around them and say, I understand. Let me help you walk through this together. There's many reasons why we might go through those dark valleys. We as God's sheep are sometimes led by Him through that valley of darkness. And He doesn't always come and airlift us out. We want that quick escape, right? Oh, Lord, get me out of here. But oftentimes He says, no, I'm not getting you out of the situation. I'm going to bring you through it. Remember, we walk through the valley of the shadow. And He might have lessons we need to learn. He may have other people we need to touch in His name. Just trust Him, walk through the valley, know that even those difficult times can be the center of God's will. Look at Joseph, and sold into slavery, lied about, thrown into prison, forgotten about, and he's just sitting there. Until finally, at just the right moment, the opportunity comes and he's able to save the lives of his entire family. Now, we know the story, and so we're like, oh yeah, sure, you know, he had to go through those tough times, but look at the end. Well, he didn't see the end back then. You know, he didn't know what was going to happen. But he was faithful. He trusted God. Whatever situation he was in, he did his very best. He always found favor in the eyes of whoever was around him. Through the valley of the deepest, darkest shadows. And then he came out on top. And we learn so much through those valleys. If we only experienced one victory after another, what would we learn? We always learn through our defeats. We learn in the darkness. And our good shepherd knows that that's what we need. That leads us to the familiar presence. Psalmist goes on to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me." This is the central verse of the psalm. And that personal pronoun changes. Up until now, David has been talking about the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. Now it changes. Now David starts speaking to God. Instead of talking about God, he is saying, you are with me. And the whole psalm kind of changes right at this line. It becomes very personal. And you know, our good shepherd is never threatened, even by the deepest darkness. He's never terrified of the dark. God will lead his people through however dark it gets so that they will not fear any evil. Again, as Spurgeon writes, "I have perfect comfort and absolute security because you are with me." You find yourself insecure? Don't look for security in yourself. That'll just make you more insecure. You find your security in God, and nothing will rattle you because He is always with us. There is no experience, there is no valley that we journey alone. What God said to Moses in Exodus 33:14 is still true. "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Earlier he said to Jacob in Genesis 28:15, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go." The Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 1:5, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." And that's quoted again in the New Testament. He said to Israel in Isaiah 41:43, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." And then Jesus, our good shepherd, one of the last things he said before going back to heaven, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." No matter where we are, what we're going through, he is with us. The truth of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, is true all the time, whatever life sends our way. Truth is, our shepherd is always with us. Christ doesn't come closer in the valley than he is in the pasture. We just feel it more. Because he's always right there. He can't be any more with us. It's a matter of perspective. We sense that he's closer to us during those dark times. And maybe that's why we go through so many valleys, is to be reminded that he is always there. And then finally, this verse shows the faithful protection. In those words, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What do we mean by rod and staff? Well, the shepherd's rod was a club. It was about 2 feet in length. And it was used to defend against wild beasts. The head of the rod was round. It was usually whittled from a knot of a tree. And then the shepherd would pound into it bits of metal to make it even harder. The shepherd, being well armed with his heavy club, could give death-giving blows to a lion or a bear or even a stealthy thief trying to steal the sheep. On the other hand, the shepherd's staff was bent. It was hooked at one end, and it provided the shepherd an instrument to pry a sheep loose from the thicket or for pushing branches aside along the narrow path or pulling wandering sheep out of a hole that they've gotten into. He would also use it to beat down the high grass to drive out snakes or other wild beasts that are there. So both the rod and the staff were symbols of the shepherd's strength, and the sheep took comfort in the strength of the shepherd. There's no need to be uncomfortable with the power of God on our side. When we're surrounded or outnumbered by enemies, it should bring relief to us in realizing that he will use his rod and his staff to protect us. Our shepherd is by our side, armed to the teeth, warding off our enemies and keeping us from wandering off the trail. God is with us in the midst of our fears, in the midst of those darkest valleys. He uses the staff to guide and control the flock. He uses the club to beat the daylights out of the sheep's enemies. Isn't that good to know? We don't have to do that because he's there to do it for us. Our shepherd is really a warrior. No one can snatch his sheep out of his hand. We think of the muscles of Jesus' arms as being flexed to defend his flock. He doesn't carry a club for nothing. He is enough for whatever the valley throws at us. So if you're in a valley right now, look around. You're going to find the good shepherd because he's there. He is right there with you. He has a rod in one hand, a staff in the other, and you're in his line of sight. You can talk to him anytime, anywhere. You can pray because the good shepherd is present in the dark valleys of our lives. I want to conclude with a testimony of one who literally traveled through the valley of the shadow of death. His name was Al Groves. At the time, he was 53 years old. He was serving as academic dean at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. He had taught Old Testament there for a quarter of a century. My kind of guy. And he was diagnosed with cancer. It was a malignant melanoma that had spread to his lungs, and they knew there was nothing they could do. He died about a year later. But over that period of time, he and his wife actually had a blog on the internet where they recorded their thoughts. After his death, his wife Elizabeth published it in a book, and it's called Grief Undone, A Journey with God and Cancer. Al wrote a letter that he wanted read at his memorial service. I'm not going to read the whole letter, but here's a part of it. As I have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I have walked hand in hand with Jesus, the one who has already walked through that valley and come out on the other side, alive, raised from the dead. And as I hold his hand and trust him, I too am raised with him. For this was his purpose in walking that path, to raise those who trusted in him. His rod and his staff, his cross of suffering have become my comfort. Now as I have died, I come before God, the King of the universe, and I come in Christ. He chose to suffer and die on the cross in my place, so that on account of him, I might have forgiveness from sin and victory over death. And now I have received the resurrection and eternal life that has been my only hope, past, present, and forever. He knew it was like to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and he knew that the Lord was with him. He didn't have to fear, because the Lord had already been through it and had come out on the other side. Now, your valley may not be physical death, or maybe it is. Either way, you are not alone. If the Lord is your shepherd, he is with you. That's a fact. Whether you feel it or not, it's a fact. And when we feel like he's gone, understand that it doesn't change the fact that he's there. He is always with us. He is with you through the green pastures, the still waters, and the dark valleys. You need not fear. His familiar presence is with you. His faithful protection will guard you. You too can say, I will fear no evil, whatever that evil might be. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these beautiful words that are preserved in your word. Words that are so familiar to us, maybe we really haven't thought about them in great detail. But this one verse has such tremendous meaning. That whatever the dark valleys we're going through in life, you don't abandon us. You are there with us. And it doesn't mean that we've necessarily done something wrong. It doesn't mean that you're angry with us. You guide us through the dark valleys because it's a part of life. And it's a reminder that you are with us at all times. So whatever valleys we may be experiencing, or whatever valleys are in our future, I pray that we'll remember the full meaning of this verse. That we will not fear because you are with us. Your strength sustains us. And whatever we go through, you will go through it with us and bring us out on the other side. I pray that these words will inspire hope, that it will build our faith, and that we can be a light to others who are in the darkness, who don't have that hope. I pray that we can share with them the truth of Psalm 23. Go with us now, I pray. Help us to be ambassadors for you. And we pray this in the name of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.